Hello and welcome to the Unfiltered Experience with Tara and Louisa.
We are two girls who speak the truth about the struggle of never feeling enough whilst growing up in a world of filters and comparison.
Here we will have raw, relatable and authentic conversations to empower you on your path to self-development.
Come with us on the journey of unlearning.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode. We are restarting our relationship series because we have some very exciting news for you. If you haven't seen on our socials, we have a course that has just gone live about healing from toxic relationships, something that we hold very dear to our heart because it's an experience that we've both been through.
Multiple times.
Yes. And a universal experience I think everybody goes through. And I think we really wanted to make this to give you guys something tangible to do. You know, you listen to us each week, but like here is some actual action points that you can take away and do to help you on your journey.
Yeah, we've put a lot of love and effort into this course. So it's a 6-week course and each week is like a different topic in relation to healing from a toxic relationship. Each of those topics we have used ourselves in healing from our own trauma from toxic relationships, and we continue to use those tools in order to stay somewhat healthy in our new healthier relationships. And we've also used one of the weeks, which is manifestation, the tools in that week to manifest a healthy partner who is a completely different partner than we've ever had before.
Yes.
And we just found that, you know, our audience really resonated with our toxic relationship content, probably because, you know, what we've been through is real.
Yes.
And, you know, we can speak from experience quite in depth about toxic relationships and unhealthy relationship patterns and beliefs and whatnot. And so, yeah, we just wanted to give back and help others heal and have relationships that they deserve.
100%. And this course is, you know, obviously in the title, it's about healing from toxic relationships, but this is for healing from toxic friendships. It's for, you know, manifesting more love in your own relationship, letting go of some old beliefs you may have from a past relationship. You don't necessarily have to be single to do this course.
Definitely not.
Yeah, like you can do it in a relationship. You can do it based on a relationship 10 years ago or one that you just ended. It can be sort of universal in that aspect where it can be utilized in any sort of way.
And I guess what it looks at is ourselves.
Yes.
Because I think there is this narrative, you know, it is very much about the partner, and if they're a narcissist, you know, you have no control over that. But what we want to talk about today is what those relationships leave us with, and that's what we have the power over, those beliefs and those wounds and those expectations that are left from unhealthy love, and how we can heal that stuff and transform that stuff so that when we meet that healthy partner that we're attracted to them. Yes. Because I know for me, I could have had healthy love a while ago, but that person wasn't on my radar because I hadn't healed.
Well, like your nervous system was used to this intense high. So when you get sort of a normal level of love or a normal level of, you know, validation or appreciation, it's not enough.
Oh,
it doesn't quite scratch the surface. So when you meet that healthy partner, I know for me they were boring.
Yeah.
It, like, I was just like, nah, not for me, you know, chasing that validation, chasing that high. So you need to be sort of ready.
So today we're going to get into our own experience of what toxic relationships have left us with. And, you know, just this is a bit of an identification episode about what someone goes through when they come out of an unhealthy relationship. And this might be good to listen to if you've got a friend that you're trying to support through getting over an unhealthy partner and you just don't get why they keep going back to them. Or this might be good if you've, you know, you're in the depths of despair and you've just gotten out of that relationship, or, you know, you've been through something in the past and you just can't get over that one person.
So we'll get straight into it. I think the biggest thing, you know, when we were discussing this episode just before we started recording, the biggest thing that stood out to me post toxic relationship, and I mean, it's been a little while, so it's hard to remember, but the biggest thing that I remember is that feeling of just being completely empty. Like your soul has been taken from your body. And it's important to note, like, toxic relationships form a codependent attachment. Like, they're not... We're not looking at a healthy relationship where someone's got their friends and you've got yours and they've got their life and you've got yours and you meet in the middle and you guys have a relationship. We're talking about this enmeshed toxicity of you becoming part of that person and them becoming part of you. And when that relationship ends, it feels like you're left with nothing. It feels like you're left with no version of yourself. And I know for me, like my ex-partner, my toxic relationship, he told me so much about who I was because he wanted that control. So when he wasn't there telling me who I was anymore, I was like left with, who the fuck am I? You know, if you're not telling me, don't do this, do that, you're not allowed here, don't wear that, then what do I do? Like, and I felt really lost in that aspect. And I felt just like, yeah, that Tara was gone.
Oh, I just think what a miracle at the start of what you just said that you'd forgotten.
Yes.
And that is not happened overnight. Like, that is something that happens from years of like work on yourself. And I think for anyone that might be, you know, long-term into a healthy relationship and still have like dreams or memories or, you know, feelings that come up about this one person that was, you know, unhealthy or toxic, that is so normal. We go through it all the time. And I think it is massive about this like emptiness that you feel. I know for me, a healthy person is, this is from a book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. She talks about like you have this like 9 grid and you've got all these little squares, and a healthy person has like all their interests in those squares. So they've got their relationship, they've got their family, they've got, you know, their job, and they've got their hobby here, and they've got their friends there. And there's this like beautiful grid of this really colorful life in all different areas. And then what happens in a toxic relationship is you just have one square. Once you lose all those other little squares because they become not a priority because this person is all encompassing. They're like a drug. And then when you lose that partner, you're losing your entire identity. It's so important that if you're healing from a toxic relationship, you start building those squares back up. Like, oh, okay, I like drawing. I'm just going to go to a drawing class. Like, I'm going to create a square around drawing or whatever it is, you know, or I'm going to reach back out to my old friends. We're going to talk about like how it affects your self-esteem and self-worth. For me, that other person was my self-esteem and self-worth.
Yes.
How they treated me was how happy I was with myself that day. It was like the direct feedback on whether I was worthy or not. So when they took my worthiness away and they, you know, shamed me or we broke up, I had no worth. I had no self-esteem. And I was like a shell of a person.
Amen. Like, I really relate to what you were saying about it being a drug. Like, and I think if we think about the bender, if you've been on one ever, and that feeling on the Monday when you've got no drugs in your system and you're hungover and whatever it is, and you've got that hollow feeling, that's what it feels like. It's like a withdrawal. It's like a complete abstinence of love or validation or a high, you know? And it's like when that's gone, you just want to search for anything to feel better. And, you know, you get addicted to that high level of intensity because a toxic relationship will follow a cycle, right? And I won't get into it, but it's got the high highs and the low lows, and they just run around in circles. And when you get off that hamster wheel, you're abstinent. You've got none of that high. You've got none of that low. And so your body's just craving anything to feel something. And I know for me, like, yeah, I just kind of was always, since that person, looking to fulfill that need. And obviously I don't have drugs and alcohol, so I couldn't just sip on a bottle of wine and get over it. I had to really feel that feeling of complete and utter loneliness and emptiness and like detox of toxicity.
Yeah. And I think what I wanted to say before, I feel like in this day and age, it can be very glorified to be with someone 100% of the time and completely enmesh your lives. Mm. And I think like that a part of that responsibility falls on media and the movies and the entertainment industry. And it shows online, like a successful relationship is one where they become a part of you and they're everything. And, you know, like you can't go a day without seeing each other, da, 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 literally like enmeshed. And obviously I think it's really important, you know, when you get to a certain level in a relationship, you do see each other every day and whatnot because you live together. But there is a selling point that is unhealthy about that because the movies aren't showing us a healthy interdependent relationship where, you know, I can go from being intimate to having my own life and having my own eggs in my basket. And
they don't sell the reality. Like, they don't sell real life. It's like, yeah, it's a fantasy. They sell you a fantasy.
Yeah, even with sex, right? Like, it's like, oh, we're just like getting it on in the living room and it's so spontaneous and I just have an orgasm straight away. It's
like that doesn't happen.
It's setting me up for failure. Mm. And so when I enter into a healthy relationship and it's very like slow or there can be some separateness and then some closeness and it's just a different type of relationship, I think I'm doing it wrong because I'm sold a different story. And I think the detox from an enmeshment, like, don't underestimate the power of that because, like, oh, I'm still detoxing 5.5 years later from an enmeshment, even being in a relationship past that. And it really is like being with a drug, a person that is a drug.
100%. Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me was adjusting to the normal standard of a relationship because I was given something that was so intense and so provoking. Like I was constantly longing for this love and feeling like I could never quite get it. And it was like this chase, this constant need, like desire, like to the point where like I would give my world to have that, you know, like I'd give you anything I could to get that fix. And you know, transitioning to a healthy relationship post that, I felt like you said, if I didn't need you, like my life depended on it, then I didn't love you. And it's like, that's not what love is, right? It sets you up for this failed expectation of love. And when you chase that feeling, I know for me, like post toxic relationship, I chased another toxic relationship to fulfill that feeling. So it's like this gaping hole inside of me that wants to be filled. And the only way it can be filled is when I'm like longing. And I'll never forget it. I used to think that love was a feeling that came from your stomach, not from your heart. And being in a healthy relationship now, I feel love from my heart for the first time in my life. Mm. And now I know that feeling from my stomach, that was anxiety. That was an anxious attachment. And I confused that. I used to think the screaming and the crying and the anxiety and the sleepless nights and all of that stuff meant I loved that person. Like, look at how much I love you. Mm. And it's like, no, this is how much pain I'm in because of you.
A big part of healing from a toxic relationship is also this feeling of despair that you'll feel like you'll never love again.
Mm.
You feel like you'll never find someone as amazing and your friends are like, what do you mean? That person was horrific. Like you're going to find someone better tomorrow at the shop.
Mm.
But for you, there is something, I mean, and we'll do another episode on this about trauma bonding, but there is a visceral, like physiological attachment to people that are unhealthy, specifically narcissistic relationships when you're an empath and you're a codependent, that doesn't make conscious sense. It doesn't make logical sense at all. And there's a lot of shame around that, I think, especially when you're talking to someone that's not in that situation or hasn't been through it, because it seems black and white, like, you just leave and you just move on from that person. They're really nasty. Like, what do you mean? But to you, you've gone on this entire trajectory of up and down through your nervous system where, you know, they did this study, I've probably talked about it before, on rats where they did intermittent reinforcement of food, which meant that they didn't know when pressing the buzzer would give them food. So sometimes when they pressed it, they'd get food. Sometimes when they pressed it, they didn't. And there was no pattern to when the food would come. And the rats would just stay there pressing the button, and they would always be looking for that next, you know, that reinforcement, that validation. And that is a narcissistic relationship. They're constantly moving the goalposts of love and validation. And so you're waiting there anxiously. That's your nervous system waiting for the next dose of self-esteem and self-worth. Mm. And to come out of that and to be without that, it takes a long time for your body to suddenly not be looking for that validation from an unhealthy person.
It's like an addiction.
Yeah.
It's a full-blown addiction. And when you think about the way you compromise yourself or the extremes or levels you will go to get high, you almost do the same thing. Even if it means sitting there pressing that fucking button all day and all night, you would do that if it meant you were going to get some sort of reinforcement at some point, because you're so dependent. I think that's what toxic relationships do, is they take away all of our independence and we become so dependent on them that you will sit there until you get that.
And you become completely irrational.
Mm.
Things don't make rational sense. However, it's what your body feels like it needs to do to feel safe. Trying to rewire yourself to not use validation in a relationship as your source of self-esteem and your self-worth is a long journey. Because I know when I got into my healthy relationship, and when I mean healthy, I mean a relationship where I have a voice and we can have an argument and reconnect and learn from it, and I'm equal and we're constantly making mistakes and we're growing and we're learning, and, you know, it doesn't mean like we don't fight. I think that's one thing that I thought getting out of a toxic relationship, because I fought so much in a toxic partnership, that I thought, okay, healthy one means you don't fight. I can do that. I won't say anything. But that's toxic too. Not speaking your truth is just as toxic as overpowering the other person. When you get into those relationships, for me at the beginning, I still had that muscle memory of when he validated me or he texted me or he reached out or gave me love, that I still used that validation. I still had this wiring in my nervous system of that being a bit of a drug and feeling really good when they contacted me. Even though he was a healthy person, I was still wired like that from my past relationships. I mean, there's always going to be an element that the validation feels good, but it's about what it means to you, and it's about learning to regulate that whether this person validates me or not, I'm worthy of love from anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of work that comes around how you talk to yourself when navigating new relationships after a toxic one.
100%. I think that my relationship that was very unhealthy involved a lot of gaslighting, which was very confusing for me, because I had this person that showed up day in, day out telling me that I was the bee's knees and that he loved me and I was this and I was that. But behind my back, he was lying, he was cheating, he was stealing from me, he was, you know, sleeping with all my friends, like just the lowest of lows. Like, he was doing all that stuff, but, you know, he's coming home to me every night saying how much he loves me and spending every single day with me. And so I became very confused. And I know that now to be gaslighting, right? Like, he's denying my reality of his wrongdoings by making me feel good about myself, which is very subliminal abuse. Because it's so silent. It's very quiet. It's like, don't look over there. Look over here. Look at what I'm doing over here. And just like ignore everything that's going on over there. It's quite scary. And so when I left that relationship, I was left with like this confusion about what life is. I'm like, who do I trust? What do I believe? This person's telling me that they want to be my friend. Do they? This person says they love me. Do they? Because his actions weren't lining up, but they weren't lining up in the ways that you wouldn't expect, because it's this person that's showing me, I love you. I'm telling you, I love you. I'm doing everything but love you behind your back. Which just, I don't know, it took me years and years and years to heal from the warped sense of reality where I was like, what to believe? Because, you know, I'll tell some pretty fucked up stories at some point, but like there were times where he denied my reality so strongly that I just had no choice but to believe him. And so then I started to think in my actual life, like, is this the Truman Show? You know what I mean? Like, am I just a big laughing stock to everybody? Who do I trust?
Oh, that is some serious emotional abuse and sociopathic manipulation.
Yeah.
Because, and I mean, I've gone through it with you over the last however many years where it took so long for you to thaw out, to realize who this person is because, you know, to your face, he's telling you all the right things you want to hear. Mm. That's the idea you have of him that you're like, oh, no, but he treated me really well. But his actions were the complete opposite. And so it takes so long for you to even know that is abuse, like proper abuse.
It took me 6 years to even acknowledge that.
Yeah.
That was abuse because my delusional fantasizing head would tell me that was love.
Yeah.
And that was what was so confusing was because I then attached that to what love meant.
Mm.
Love meant that you fucking worship me, but you cheat on me.
Mm.
What does that tell a young girl?
Love bombing creates such an unrealistic expectation on a healthy partner of what validation should look like. I, at the beginning of my relationship, was so used to being love bombed to an unhealthy extent where this person is sending me so much validation over message, like writing me like love letters once a week after he's been an absolute asshole to me in person. And that was a part of the cycle of the toxic relationship because he would control me. He was never violent, but he was very aggressive in his argument style, his fight style. And, you know, and then he would send me these beautiful messages about how I'm like God's gift. And I'd believe it, like, oh, like, okay, you know, oh, it doesn't matter. I'll excuse all that because this feels so good having this like long message telling me how amazing I am. I never have to feel unworthy or I never have to feel insecure because I've got all of this evidence of this person just being like in obsessive with me and thinking that I'm amazing. And I mean, I had low self-esteem, so that was perfect. I was like, great. I don't have to look at myself. You're telling me I'm enough, so I must be. But that excused so much of the bad behavior. Like it took me 18 months of that cycle repeating over and over and over and over and over again, like weekly, for that entire period besides for the first 3 months of the relationship before I realized something's never going to change. I always had this idea that this person has potential. I'm in relationship with potential. Once they do this work on themselves or once this happens, they're going to be the perfect partner for me. Enough with getting in relationship with potential. Get in a relationship with the guy that's already done the work, that's already thinks you're amazing, that already has dealt with his demons, that is going to treat you with respect and love. Because waiting around for someone to meet their potential, and I mean, I'd seek out stories of relationships where people went through really hard times and came out the other end and it all worked out. But that didn't help because it made me stick around for someone that never changed. And I don't know if anyone needs to hear this, but my message to you is if you've been in a relationship with this person for 12 months and they're not changing, they're never going to change.
Yes. And they will pretend, like in your situation, they'll pretend that they will change to keep you. And they keep you stuck with that loop of, no, no, I will be better. Next time it'll be different. I promise I'm not going to do it like that. And so you keep holding on that someday that's going to become the truth. But look at the evidence. And your evidence was that just was never going to happen.
Well, what spoke to me the loudest by the end of it was on my milestone, my recovery milestone, on my when I turned a year clean, he ruined that milestone by picking a fight with me about something that I had no control over. And the same thing happened a year later. And that was what spoke to me. I was like, here I am. It just cut through the denial. Here I am a year later dealing with the same thing. I've been dealing with the same thing over the last year. I cannot ignore this anymore. Because every message that he'd written, I'd always thought, okay, you know, this will be different, or that will change, or when he does this, or when I do that differently, and da 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 da. But nothing changed. And I mean, I really admire people. Yeah, okay, maybe people do change and grow in relationships, which I'm sure they do to an extent. But you've got to look at when that apology is manipulation.
Mm.
When is that apology without action, we know, is manipulation. And obviously there's space for people to be human and grow. I'm not talking about that. Like, I'm talking about emotional abuse that doesn't change.
Or the narcissistic cycle.
Yeah.
Where the only time where they're apologetic and they're loving you and they're validating you is when they're saving themselves from something that they've done.
Mm.
It's like, it's not coming from a genuine place. It's to say, look, don't leave me. Look over here and don't look at all the shitty things I just did to you, because look how much I love you.
It wasn't until I literally Googled what a toxic relationship was and did a toxic relationship quiz that I realized, oh my God, I'm in a toxic relationship, because I had been with someone a lot worse than him, right?
Overtly,
exactly. Like, to the point where I just blamed everything on that relationship. And because that was what I'd been through before, when I got into this next relationship, my expectation was that it must be healthier. It must be good. You know, it took me a long time to realize that relationship was toxic as well, but in a different way. Okay, because this person isn't doing the really overt stuff that this other person was doing, it doesn't mean that it's okay if it's harmful. And yeah, so I remember going online and searching on a toxic relationship quiz and getting like 100%, this is a toxic relationship. The only thing that wasn't ticked, it was like 99 or something. The only thing that wasn't ticked was the physical violence stuff.
I'm sorry, if you are on Googling if your relationship is toxic, you're in a toxic relationship.
Mm.
You just don't want to see it.
I couldn't see it. There's no way I could have seen that. I was like,
you were addicted to the highs.
Yeah. And I also had no awareness over what a healthy relationship was. I just assumed like it had to be better because it wasn't as explicit. It's about how it sits with you. Like, is this person supportive of your growth as a human being, or do they want you to stay small and stuck?
Mm.
And that was the bottom line. He wanted me to be small and stuck because I was an extension of him.
And that suits his ego and soothes his self-esteem if you stay small.
Amen. It's a big topic. I'll leave some links in the show notes about the course, but also about any resources like Lifeline and 1-800-RESPECT for anyone that might be going through a domestic violent or toxic relationship. I'll even leave the toxic relationship quiz. Mm. But yeah, we just really urge, I know for me, I chose not to tell my friends everything. I would tell, you know, Tara some stuff, then I'd tell our other friend Kate something else, and I'd switch between the two because, you know, then it didn't seem too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they really knew the frequency of everything that was going on, it would be obvious what to do. So I really urge people to get honest with the people they love. If you can't be honest about your partner's behavior, that is a red flag. But love and compassion from us. We'll see you next week.
Absolutely. See you then.
Bye.
Bye.